When Susan B. Anthony was born on February 15, 1820, in Adams, Massachusetts, the United States was still a young republic trying to decide what kind of nation it intended to become. The language of liberty was everywhere. Americans spoke proudly of independence, citizenship, rights, virtue, and self-government. Yet beneath those shining ideals lay a more uncomfortable reality. Political power belonged almost entirely to men. Enslavement remained legal in large parts of the country. Women had few formal rights over property, wages, marriage, divorce, children, public office, or the ballot. Native peoples were being displaced in the name of expansion. Poor workers had little security. The nation celebrated freedom, but that freedom was unevenly distributed. Into this world came a child who would spend her life challenging that contradiction. Susan B. Anthony did not begin as a famous reformer, a national speaker, or an icon of women's suffrage. She began as a girl in a family shaped by work, religion, discipline, education, moral seriousness, and reform. Her childhood did not simply give her a home, it gave her a framework for understanding injustice. Long before she stood before hostile crowds, argued for women's right to vote, organized conventions, challenged lawmakers, or cast an illegal ballot in 1872, she absorbed a powerful lesson from the world around her: if something was morally wrong, silence was not enough. The future suffrage leader was born into a Quaker family, and that fact mattered deeply. The Quaker tradition, formerly known as the Religious Society of Friends, had a distinctive influence on reform movements in the 19th century. Not every Quaker was radical, and not every Quaker lived up to the faith's ideals, but the tradition placed unusual emphasis on conscience, simplicity, spiritual equality, and moral accountability. Quakers believed that every person possessed an inner light, a divine presence that gave human beings spiritual worth beyond rank, wealth, gender, or social status. In practice, this belief could lead to ideas that were startling in a society organized around hierarchy. If women possessed the same inner light as men, then why should they be silent? If enslaved people possessed the same spiritual worth as free people, then how could slavery be justified? If conscience demanded action, then how could a person remain passive in the face of injustice? These questions would later become central to Susan B. Anthony's life. As a child, she did not yet have the political language she would later use, but she grew up surrounded by the moral habits that made such questions unavoidable. Her father, Daniel Anthony, was a stern, industrious, principled man who believed in discipline, hard work, and improvement. Her mother, Lucy Reed Anthony, brought warmth, endurance, and emotional steadiness into a household that was often demanding. Their home was not wealthy in the careless sense of comfort without effort. It was a place of labor, order, expectation, and seriousness. The children were expected to learn, to behave, to contribute, and to understand that life had obligations beyond personal pleasure. The Anthony family lived in a region shaped by mills, farms, religious communities, and reform currents. Adams, Massachusetts, where Susan was born, sat in the Berkshire region, an area that combined rural life with emerging industrial change. The early 19th century was a period of transformation in New England. Small communities were being affected by market growth, manufacturing, new transportation routes, religious revival, and political debate. The world of farms and home production was giving way, in some places, to mills, wage labor, and new forms of economic dependency. Families like the Anthonys stood at the intersection of older moral traditions and newer industrial realities. Daniel Anthony worked in cotton manufacturing, and his children grew up aware that industry was not an abstraction. Work had rhythm, cost, and consequence. Mills required discipline.